This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
bbclearningenglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies.
There was no hardship up in Wigan because the digs were pretty reasonable, £2.50 a week.
Queen's Drive was in Finsbury Park, and at the time, Finsbury Park did not have such a nice reputation. But the house was nice.
One of a person from my country, he find me, and he said to me, "Don't worry, somebody, when I arrived in this country, they helped me, and I will help you, and tomorrow, please help another people."
Voices of immigrants sharing their stories about housing in England.
You're listening to First Sight, Second Thoughts from the BBC World Service, the series which views life in Britain through the eyes of her immigrant population. In today's programme, immigrants from as far afield as India, Guyana and Iran share their stories about where they lived when they first arrived in England.
Our first speaker, Dick Gone, arrived in the 1950s when he was 16 years old. He came to England from Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is one of the four countries which make up the United Kingdom. Dick was recruited by a large telecommunications company and went to Lancashire in northwest England. He arrived during a very cold winter and soon found some digs, somewhere inexpensive to live. Was his a difficult experience?
I came over to England in 1954 to a place called Wigan in Lancashire, and there was no hardship up in Wigan because the digs were pretty reasonable, £2.50 a week. I was living with an old woman who was about 76, and she put four men up in two rooms, fed us, breakfast, lunch, tea, and entertained us. And she had more life than I had, and I was only a youngster then. This, she could jump up on the table, and she was 76, I couldn't believe it. And she was a great one for sewing tapestries. She had a massive one on the wall, which ruined her eyesight, but it was a marvellous thing. But I don't know whatever happened to that tapestry, because she must have died over the years. You know, she probably is. She's long dead.
Dick said there was no hardship, because although he had to share a room, his rent was only £2.50 a week. For that amount of money, Dick's landlady, whom he fondly refers to as an old dear, provided him and the other young men in the house with all their meals. They got breakfast, lunch, and what he calls tea, which in this case is more than a drink, it's supper or dinner, and is, of course, often served with cups of tea. So Dick was pleased with his digs, and his landlady was entertaining and friendly. Rajinder Dulai arrived from India in 1997. He didn't have to look for somewhere to live because he'd already made plans to stay with his sister in the Midlands. And were the houses in England what Rajinder expected?
First impression of houses were they were very small. I came to my sister's house first, and they're sort of relatively a medium-sized house, looking at it now, right? But the first time I felt it's very small compared to our house in India. It's very small rooms, and you can hear in one room what's happening in the other room. So it wasn't that really great. We got used to it. And also the image we had of England. Actually, England was not really the same as the image we had in our mind.
So when Rajinder arrived, he already had an image, a picture of England in his mind. But the image didn't match what he saw, and at the time, he thought the houses were very small and noisy. However, Rajinder soon realised that his sister's house was relatively medium-sized. Compared with other houses, it wasn't so small after all. Muriel Hunt from Guyana arrived in 1953, the year when people were celebrating Queen Elizabeth's coronation. Before Muriel saw her new home, she was quite impressed when she read the address, the name of the street.
According to the address, my husband said I was coming too. I mean, he didn't define where Queen's Drive was, but I was sure it was near to the Queen. But it wasn't near to the Queen at all, nowhere near Buckingham Palace. But I adapted. Queen's Drive was in Finsbury Park, and at the time, Finsbury Park did not have such a nice reputation. But the house was nice.
So Muriel was slightly disappointed that Queen's Drive wasn't near Buckingham Palace, the Queen's official residence. She soon realised that the area she'd moved to had a bad reputation. It was generally thought of as unpleasant. However, Muriel liked her new house.
Our next speaker, Maya Yoshida, came from Tokyo in Japan in 1996. Like Muriel, when she first arrived, Maya lived in an area of London with a bad reputation. But was there anything she liked about living there?
It was really different from that area, which I wanted to live in. But New Cross is really a good place for me. I really like it. And I still live in South London, in Brixton. And it is true that Brixton is a bit infamous as a rough area. But I like living in Brixton because I can see vitality of the people. You know, the people in Brixton is mainly immigrant from West Indies or Africa. So it's a bit different from the British community.
Maya still lives in Brixton, South London, which she describes as infamous and a rough area. But she likes it because she can see the vitality of the people who live there. They're lively. And Maya feels comfortable in Brixton, where the community is mixed. There are a lot of immigrants from the West Indies and Africa, for example. Our last speaker today, Mushtaba Amini, came to England in 1998 as a refugee from Iran.
When I arrived in Heathrow, that day was, Sunday, and the immigration officer said to me and some people from Afghanistan and some people from different countries, they said to us, we haven't any room or something, and you have to sleep in Terminal 2 in the airport. And he said, you have to go there and you can sleep same passenger in chairs. And I sleep about 4 nights in Heathrow Airport without shower, without shave, without nothing.
After several days, Mushtaba was taken to an organisation for asylum seekers. There, he was given some useful legal information, but for the next 3 weeks, he was homeless. Mushtaba went to see a solicitor, a legal advisor, and the solicitor told him to go to the council, a group of people responsible for running local services, such as housing. He was given a very long list of organisations which help to arrange accommodation. Mushtaba still has that list.
I took my bag and somebody showed me Barnet Council. I went there and they said to me, you have to go in housing benefit. I went there. They said to me, you have to go Barnet House. I went there. And, you know, about 5-6 hours, I was walking on the street and I find one lady. She was speaking with her daughter my language. I said, sorry, I'm Iranian. I'm homeless. What can I do? And she said to me, I don't know really. I said, do you know somewhere, some agency, somebody can help me? She said to me, I have just one number for one organization. Maybe they can help you. And she gave to me. I rang them. I didn't find anybody. And I come back in housing benefit and they give to me about 10 pages for list for agency, and they said to me, you can go there and find. I have now here that list, and I went everywhere, nothing.
After walking for about 5 or 6 hours in the cold, Mushtaba bought himself a cake and some milk. And he felt fortunate when he found a warm laundry to sit in. A laundry, or laundrette, is a place where people can go to wash their clothes.
Weather was cold and I was hungry. I bought one cake and one milk I went inside one laundry, and because I find there warm, I wanted eat there. One man and one lady, they were keep looking to my face, and that man said to me, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Nothing. I came here because here warm." And I saw that man, he was playing with his mobile, and he left laundry, and police come up to me and said to me, "What are you doing here?" I said, "This is my document. I'm refugee here, and I'm homeless. And outside was cold, that's why I came here. Can you help me?" And he said to me, "Somebody rang us, and we came here." And I said, "I know that person. He was next to me." And he said to me, "You better leave this laundry and you go out."
So, one of the customers in the laundry had a mobile phone, and Mushtaba believes that this man had telephoned the police. And although Mushtaba asked the police for help, he was forced to go back out into the cold. Outside the laundry, Mushtaba saw the man with the mobile phone again and went to talk to him about his situation. The man decided to help Mushtaba by taking him to a shelter for the homeless. By then, it was 1 o'clock in the morning.
When we arrived there, reception said to us, "We haven't any room. You have to sleep on the chair in TV room." One guy come up to me and said to me, "Be careful. And there is some thief people and middle night, maybe they come and take your stuff." I said, "I haven't anything." Really, it was very, very bad for me. And I stayed there about a week in that homeless house.
Then an Iranian refugee, who had also been homeless, helped Mushtaba. He paid a £100 deposit for a room for Mushtaba in the building where he lived. But in return, Mushtaba had to agree to help other refugees if he could.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.